produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
My name is Debbie Keller, and my company is Home and Office Transitions. I provide move management services for individuals and companies. We were looking for a company with high-quality service, integrity, and one that was committed to the same high standards of customer service that we were. And we found all of those in Ewing Moving and Storage.
Back to basics Bible study. God gave this to me directly from his spirit to my spirit to get back to Bible study that teaches the Bible and the Bible alone. The setup of the Bible, the history of the Bible, the theory, Bible theory, the promises of God, the commands of God. Most churches have kind of veered a little bit away from teaching this is the Bible and going book by book. And we do a lot of topical studies, which is very good because that's people need that. But we also need to get back to studying the Bible for itself. I stand on this scripture every single week. It is 2 Timothy 3, 16 and 17, which says all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, man meaning mankind, be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Amen. Let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, I thank you. May the word of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord. You are thy strength. You are my redeemer. Father God, I thank you for this time of refreshing, this time of study, O God, this time of fellowship. I pray simple, Father, that hide me behind the cross so that they do not see me, but they see you. And you receive all the glory and honor for everything that is said. Father God, I pray that you will speak to my spirit by your spirit. Let me not speak in error. Give me clear articulation of the tongue, O God. And Father, give me what you once said to these, your people. Father God, may their hearts be open and their minds be receptive for the word that you have for them today. May you get the glory. May you get the honor. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. We're going to start this week. We did last week with the overview of the Old Testament. We had a blessed time in the Lord on last week. That set the table for opening up the book of Genesis. If you don't have it by now, get that Bible in front of you because you're going to need it. The book of Genesis, introduction and review. I will premise this by telling you already. There are going to be a couple of hard statements in this lesson, directly from the scripture. Don't blame the preacher. Don't blame the teacher, okay? It's just some hard statements that God once said that's directly in his word. So let's not get defensive over any scripture or anything that God has to say to his people, but take it in its totality first before you draw any judgments. Amen. Let's hear the whole thing first. Also, there are going to be times where I am quoting theory. There is going to be times where I'm quoting customs. Understand, my people, you have spiritual discernment. For one, you must read the Bible for yourself. This is not to substitute you reading the Bible. This is just to help you understand the Bible more. Okay, amen. So you can understand the Bible more as you are reading. Now, with that being said, you have spiritual discernment. If there's anything that is said, and I will always try to say this is theory. What I'm about to say is theory, or what I'm about to say is some type of understanding or some school of thought. When I do that, understand, you can accept it or reject it. It's okay. That's all right with Rev, okay? Everything that we do on this line will be done in love. Let me start before I say the first line on this sheet, I love you. I love you all. I love you. I love God because God loved me first and loved you first. So this will be a line based off of love and love alone, showing love for each other and showing an outward expression of our love for God because we love him so much that we're going to study his word. Amen. Now, the authorship and date of the book of Genesis. Let's get the technical stuff out of the way, okay? And if I forget to say it, send me your email address in the comments and I will send you a copy of everything that you see on the screen, okay? Let's get the technical stuff out of the way. The authorship and date. God is the divine author of all scripture. Think about what we just said in our base scripture. All scriptures are given by the inspiration of God, okay? God is the divine author of all scripture. Moses is the human author of the book of Genesis. Now, because I heard from my seniors and wisdom, I'm going to slow down my speech a little bit this week. I think I was speaking a little bit too fast last week, okay? But I just get excited. Y'all got to excuse me, okay? So Moses is the author also of the five books of the law called the Torah or the Pentateuch, okay? Just some technical things we're just getting out of the way first. With the exception of Deuteronomy 34, which records Moses' death, that was inserted later. The Pentateuch, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy, the five books of Moses, books of the law, or the Pentateuch. People will say very quickly, well, how can he write Deuteronomy if it records his death? That was added later, okay, by an additional writer. Exodus dates around 1445 BC. Young folk, remember, Jesus is the Savior is the pinnacle of time, meaning with the birth of Jesus, all time increased after his birth. All time decreases the other way, okay? So he's the middle part. He's the pinnacle. He divides time. B.C., before Christ, A.D., after Christ. But, I mean, after death, that's not actually what it means. But anyway, we'll get into it later. Likely written after the Exodus and before Israel's entrance into Canaan. It's likely that the book was written during the wilderness wanderings. Why? Because history has to happen first, right? And then we record it. So that's all that means. The purpose of Genesis, the purpose. The theme of the purpose is that God created all things. The scripture says nothing, God created everything, heaven and earth, all living things. Nothing was created that was not created by the hands of God. God created all things, the purpose, and to record the beginning of many elements of life, the creation and many elements. Thirdly, to relate how Israel, through Abraham, was selected to become God's nation. Now remember, what did we talk about last week? To form a nation, you got to have three elements. It is people, it is law, it is land. Keep that in mind when you're reading the Old Testament. If you keep that in mind as you're reading, then you know what God is doing in that time period. He developed the people first to start forming the nation. Amen. So special consideration to Genesis. Let me scroll it up for you. Special consideration to Genesis. It covers 2,300 years is the estimate given for the book. So keep this in mind. 1 through 11, which we're going to start on today, is 2,000 years by itself. So are we going to get through 1 through 11 today? Mm-mm, not going to happen, okay? Chapter 12 through 50 only covers 300 years. So the first 11 books, I mean, chapters of Genesis, is that so very important to the believer to get into understanding, okay? 2,000 years on its own. Moving right along the background points of Genesis, the nature of Genesis, it is history. It is historically correct. It is human history that can be traced through genealogy. Historians, we use the testimony of historians to authenticate the Bible. Anytime someone wants to say the Bible is not true, it can be proven through family history and is historically accurate. Genesis is quoted 70 times in the New Testament in 17 different books. It cannot be quoted that many times in that many different books with that many different writers if it was not true. It is scientifically accurate. The creation, the flood, things can be proven by science that tries to disprove the Bible. Every time they try to do that, they actually have findings that say that the Bible is true. So the emphasis of Genesis is the creation of all living things and God's covenant with Abraham and God's relationship with Israel. Are we together so far? That's just your technical things to keep in your mind as we're getting started. Here we go. Get your Bible's ready. The summary of Genesis, okay? We got a long way to go and a short time to get there. Y'all young folks don't know where that comes from, but we, us older people, know where that saying comes from. But we're going to do what they say can be done. We're going to study this Bible as it is written. Chapter 1 and 2 is kind of together, so I'm going to kind of flow with this, but I know that you've heard it, but just follow along with me, and it will begin to make a lot of sense to you. Okay. Remember what I said last week. Genesis is broken up into two major parts. God's dealing with mankind in general, that's everybody, is chapter 1 through 11. So get in your mind today, we are not talking about the nation of Israel. It hasn't been formed yet. We are talking about everybody. 12 through 50 deals with the nation. We're not there yet. So let's get that focus in our minds. The creation is the first thing we deal with. God supernaturally created all things out of nothing. He spoke it out of nothing. The creation of the universe and the creation of man. We're going to go over the different days. What happened on those days? Day one, to help further your understanding, day one is the creation of light. God created the material earth, but it had no distinct features yet. He just formed it, okay? He created a light source. Now, this light source, brothers and sisters, was not the sun. It was, you know, I don't want to put it like this, but it was a work light, okay? It wasn't the sun yet. It wasn't the moon yet. And I've had that question before. If this source was temporary, it separated the day from the night to form a separation there. That's day one, okay? Day two, the creation of the upper waters from the lower waters. That's in like 6 through 8. Created Earth's atmosphere. You see the word in there, firmament. Firmament is an expanse of space, or it can be translated as heaven or atmosphere. When you see firmament, that's what keep in your mind. So there's a space, firmament, in between the upper waters and in between the lower waters. Now, get this last statement. It created a greenhouse effect around the earth. Now, let me give you a little teaser. When people ask you, how in the world did the flood happen? That's your answer right there. But that's just a teaser. We're going to explain that when we get there in the flood, okay? The greenhouse effect is how the great flood happened. We will go over that then, okay? You got upper waters and lower waters with the firmament, the expanse, atmosphere, or heaven in between, okay? All right. Day three, he created plants, okay? Now, I'm able to flow through this because what? We had you to read these chapters before we even started. So this should just further your understanding. That's why we should read ahead of time, okay? The creation of plants, around verse 9 through 13. Now, land appeared from the waters that were beneath. God is a God of order. When you look at it like this, Everything has this perfect symmetry. Everything flowed one after the other, okay? The light came first, the land was formed, then the waters upper and lower, then the plants. Could not have the plants without the water, okay? Could not have it without the soil first, okay? So everything is in order and it flows like that, okay? The creation of plants, land appeared from the waters that were beneath. So the waters that were beneath the firmament, land came out of that. You can look at a globe and you can see it right there, okay? All the continents came up. Trees and vegetation was formed, fully grown. Here we go. Answer to your question. What comes first, the seed or the plant? What comes first, the chicken or the egg, okay? Here's your answer. God spoke everything into existence fully grown, okay? Fully grown. Then seeds came from it. Imagine a tree, a fruit tree. You got the fruit, then seeds come from that fruit, and then it reciprocates. That's how God formed it. Amen? That's how God formed it. And if you look at it, it's right there in scripture, chapter 1, 9 through 13. If you look at 9, then God said, let the waters under the heavens be gathered together into one place, and let the dry land appear, and it was so. And God called the dry land and the gathering together of the waters, he called seas, and God saw that it was good. And God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb that yields seed, and the fruit tree that yields fruit according to its kind, whose seed is in itself. There you go right there. So when people ask, yeah, Rev got to wear these glasses there, y'all. When people ask what was formed first, God spoke everything fully grown into existence. Amen? Okay. Here we go. Day four. Don't get me wrong. Chapter 2 is going to give you more details of this so we can flow with chapter 1. Day four, the creation of sun, moon, and stars. Here we go. Now the great lights are formed. The first light was just a work light in a sense. Now that's just my words now. That's just a work light. That's just what's to separate the light, the day from the night. So the creation of the sun, moon, and stars, you're around verse 14, okay? The creation of great lights separated days, months, years, and seasons. Now, in an instance, now you have the sun. You know everything revolves around the sun. Now you got the days revolving, months, weeks, years. You got seasons. Okay, the farther you are away from the sun, the colder it gets. Now you got your seasons, okay? That was on day four, the great lights, okay? Day five, the creation of all birds and marine life. That's around verse 20. The creation of animals above the earth, birds, flying things, and the creation of animals in the seas, specifically. Everything that swims in the ocean, okay? Animals above, animals below in the waters. That's self-explanatory. Day six, the creation of land animals. Okay, now he did everything that flew above, everything that's in the waters. Now we're moving to the land, okay? The creation of land animals, reptiles, and man. Oh, okay, now it's everything that set foot on the soil, okay? Now you're around verse 24. God created all animals that would live on, keyword, on the earth, okay? And I'll keep reminding myself to slow down my speech, okay? God created man in his own image, Only man was created, person, having intellect, emotions, and will. Man is the king of the earth. So the theories of animals are equal to men and men meaning mankind family, and they should have the equal rights of humans. It's not what the Bible says. People can believe what they want. It's not what the Bible says, okay? Man called to rule and to subdue all of creation, all of it, verses 24 through 31, okay? man given herbs and fruit to eat. So now the diet is set in place. He had to provide what was needed to sustain the man. So what does that mean? He was not given at this time meat to eat, okay? This is what he was given to eat. Verse 29. Be fruitful and multiply. Let's skip down. God said, see, I have given you every herb that yields seed, which is on the face of all the earth, and every tree whose fruit yields seed to you, it shall be for food. It shall be for food. Let me say this too, so that you're not tripped up, because people have asked me. 30 says also to every beast of the earth and to every bird of the air and to everything that creeps on the earth and to everything that creeps on the earth and where it is life, I have given every green herb for food also. What is that saying? That is not saying that the animals was given for food. It was saying we were giving herbs and fruit and vegetation to eat. And also the animals were given herbs and vegetation and grass to eat. Also, there was a period there, then the second thought became. Okay? We got that? All right. I was asked that question during the week. As we're going, I'm answering questions that I received during the week. Amen? Okay. Now, guess what? We're at chapter 2. This is what you have to get in chapter 2. It is a retelling of the creation account with greater detail. It is not a separate creation. I get that question all of the time. It is not a separate creation. It is the same thing that is retold with more detail, more facts and figures, okay? God formed days 1 through 3. His action was forming in 1 through 3. God filled days 4 through 6. Get that in your spirit, okay? 1 through 3, he formed. 4 through 6, he filled. And we know what he did on the seventh. He blessed it and he sanctified it. Yes, let me give you a tidbit. It did not say it was Sunday. He said the seventh day, okay? The days of the week and traditions was added later, but you can research that for yourself. Amen. Okay, God rested and blessed and sanctified this day, the seventh day, which was chapter 2, verse 1 through 3, okay? When you move along, if you look at chapter 2, verse 4 through 6, that is the first use of God's personal name, which is verse 4, and we miss that all the time, so let me call your attention to it. Okay, look at 2 and 4. This is the history of the heavens and the earth when they were created in the day that the Lord God made the earth and the heavens. We read right through that and we miss the emphasis. This is the very first time in scripture the personal name of God is used. The Lord. This is translated YHWH. This is translated Yahweh. This is translated Jehovah. Okay? YHWH. Well, Rev, why is that? We have men on this phone. You are fathers. You are brothers. You are sons. You are friends. But your name is Mark, Luke, John, Matthew. Your personal name is your personal name. When we say God, there were many gods throughout the Old Testament that the pagan religion was worshiping. Yahweh or YHWH in the Hebrew, Yahweh in the Hebrew, Jehovah, is the personal name. I would just suggest to you, you can do as you will, to get in a habit of remembering that, Yahweh. It was so sacred in the time in the Hebrew age that they would not even speak it. That's why it's translated the Lord right here instead of written out exactly. It was too sacred to even be spoken through your mouth. Amen? Amen. Okay, now we see special types of vegetation that that needed Adam's care also in verse 4-6, okay? Now, in 7-9, Adam was created and then placed in the Garden of Eden. And that's where we have the trees of life and the tree of knowledge of good and evil, okay? Verse 7-9. So as I move my page, the garden is even in Garden of Eden is expounded upon in 10-17. Then you have the creation of Eve and the beginning of marriage. I'm about to get particular about some things. I'm just giving you the overview, okay? Woman was created from the rib of the man. Amen. Now, when I get into this next section, we're going to hear some hard things, okay? But let's accept it with love and accept it with scripture, okay? So you got verses 18-25, you see the creation of Eve and the beginning of marriage. We're going to talk about that, okay? Woman was created from the rib of the man. We know that story, from the middle of his body. Now, Bible theory, you hear? Theory. It was not taken from the head or was not taken from the foot. Okay? That denotes that, and we're talking about Hebrew culture and the modern culture of that time. Okay? Not taken from the head or the foot suggests that the woman was not to rule over the man, but she was taken from or out of the man. Amen? 1 Corinthians 11:3 says, but I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of every woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God. So that is the order that God has established, not by the mouth of man, but by the mouth of God. But take it all in totality. It also signifies the reason why nothing was taken from the lower half of the man. This is Bible theory. You can accept it or reject it, okay? This is theory. Man is not to oppress the woman. So that means your foot cannot be on somebody, in theory, oppress. 1 Peter 3:7 says, likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge. Wisdom, giving honor unto the wife. There goes that word. You are to honor, 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 as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, heirs together, complementary of one another, that your prayers not be hindered. So if you do not do what this scripture says, then the man's prayers will not be honored. They will be hindered. Amen? So don't just look at men one part and not look at your responsibility. Women, don't look at one part and not look at the blessings of the other. The men are commanded to honor the woman. So God sets it up in that equal balance to where both are covered. And when we get to one of my favorite books, Ephesians, when we get to Ephesians 5, we're going to really dive into the union of marriage. Amen? So that's something that I'm definitely looking forward to. So in the Bible, the act of naming an object, place, or person indicated that, now this is not theory, this is Bible principle. The act of naming an object, place, or person indicated that you held authority over it in your role over it. or you was the head of it. Amen? So when God named the light day and he named the darkness night, what that did was establish that God created it and that God holds authority over the day, over the light, over the darkness, over the night. Do we have that? By naming it, that's why it specifically says, and God called it day and called the darkness night. He named it. So then Adam named the animals. As we went over, that means that man was to rule over those creations. Mankind was to rule over those creations or have authority, okay? So Adam named the woman, and we will go over that. Look at chapter 2, verse 23. Chapter 2, verse 23, okay? And Adam said, this is now bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of me, or she was taken out of man, okay? But look at 24, verse 24. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his, what is she called now? She was named woman, but now what is she called? She's called wife. This is where the institution of marriage was put into place, right here. This is now bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh, and she shall be called woman. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and his mother and be joined. That joining right there, that's marriage. And God instituted marriage right there. Now she's called wife. But she's not given a name until chapter 3, verse 20. Let's jump ahead, flip one page over, and look at that. Chapter 3, verse 20. Okay? And Adam called or named his wife's name Eve. So it was not until chapter 3 that she received her name. And ironically, it wasn't until after the fall, sin entered into the world after the temptation from Satan, is when she received her name, because she was the mother, amen, of all living things. Yes, the seed goes through the man, originates from the man, but nothing can be done until the vehicle of the woman incubates that seed, nurtures it, provides for it through her body, and brings forth childbirth. Nothing can be done. God is no respecter of persons. He loved the woman just as he loved the man just as the woman. There's just different roles given. That's all. Just different roles and responsibilities for those roles. And we're going to get into this. Boy, this is getting good to me. Is this getting good to y'all? I really hope it is. So let's move. Let's get a little bit more in detail, okay? If you have a heading in your Bible, you see that now in chapter 3, you have the temptation and the fall, okay? You have the temptation and the fall. So we're taking 2 and 3 together, and we're going to work with it. So don't think I'm skipping some. We're going to work 2 and 3 together, okay? The fall of man, entrance of sin into the world. This is where sin entered the world. What do we remember? When Eve ate the fruit. Not true. And I gave you a little tidbit last week to tell you get ready for this. Listen to this statement. All right, let me take up for my ladies real quick. Eve was deceived by Satan. Adam was not deceived. Adam disobeyed. So this wipes away all this nonsense that sin entered into the world, when Eve ate the fruit. No, it did not. I just talked to you about the order and the construction of the marriage and how God wanted the order of the marriage. Eve did not disobey. Eve was deceived. Now she did something different than what her husband stated, but let's go forward. The command to not eat of the tree was given to Adam directly. Look at chapter 2, verse 15 through 17, okay? The chapter 2, 15 through 17. Then the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to tend it and to keep it. Okay, the man was formed, right? And the Lord God commanded the man. Okay, I just read for you a little while ago, 21, 22, 23, the woman was not formed yet. The Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, get this, you shall not eat, comma. That's the direction. You should not eat. That's the command. For here's the consequence. For in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die. Commanded directly to Adam. Don't talk to me about what Eve did. Eve was not on the scene yet. Okay? So, but get this. After Satan went to Eve and deceived her. Look at chapter 3, look at verses 2 through 3, okay? Well, let's start at the beginning. Let's start at 1. Now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord had made, and he said to the woman, has God not indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said to the serpent, listen to what she said, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God said, you should not eat. That's true, comma, nor shall you touch it, lest you die. So the command is, you shall not eat, the first command, comma, second command, nor shall you touch it, comma, consequence, those were the commands, consequence, lest you die. My question to you is that exactly the command that was given to Adam? Look back over here. Look at 16. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, command, for in that day of it you shall surely die. Did God say anything about touching? He did not. So read this statement right here in your notes. Eve stated that they were not to touch the fruit. That is not what God said. God never said they couldn't touch it. He said, don't eat it. Now, this confusion gave the serpent what he needed. It gave the serpent the doorway or the access to deceive the woman. She did not die when she touched it. So then she was convinced in her spirit, oh, well, he's right. I touched it and I didn't die. So now I can eat it. Boy, this is making sense now to some of y'all, okay? So get this. Why did Eve change the story? Okay, some of y'all are gonna say women like to add to the story. Okay, but I'm going to say, this is theory. This is not listed in the scriptures, but this is theory. One theory says Adam had to, now that's facts. He had to convey the command to his wife. And y'all know how it goes when we get to retelling stories, we get to add stuff, right? The theory is that Adam added by mistake or added the phrase not to touch it. Because maybe he just wanted to really put that in there to say, hey, just stay away from a period. You know, we do our children like that now. You know, no, don't touch it at all. But either he added to the story or Eve added to it by mistake. Most theologians say Adam added to the story. Okay? So the fault, all of the fault, my brothers, all of the fault lies on Adam, not Eve. Okay? Let me say it again. All fault lies on Adam, not Eve. She was deceived, but Adam disobeyed. Why? Next line, right here. Eve took of the fruit and ate. She also gave to her husband with her, it said in scripture, with her, and he ate. Okay? So what does that mean? So that's round verse 6. She also, look at the bottom of verse 6, because I want to give y'all verses. She also gave to her husband with her, and he ate. If you want to know what that is, 3 and 6. Period. Verse 7 says, then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew that they were naked. So it did not say, then the eyes of them were opened when Eve ate. It said it after Adam. All of your proof is right there in scripture. All the fault was put on Adam. Yes, you're given the responsibility, and we like to get in our ego with the head of the household, but you're given all these responsibilities as well. Okay? Okay? To whom much is given, much is required. Amen, Bible readers. Okay. Now, we're down here in your notes. Adam said nothing, allowing the serpent to deceive his wife and circumvent the order of God. Boom, there we go. Satan attacks the commands of God, and he attacks the promises of God. Satan attacks the commands. Satan attacks the promises. So, when he established, God established the order of marriage as the man is the head and the wife is the complement to him, his helpmate, the complement, he said, I got to go to the wife and I'm going to convince her to do it because I saw Adam didn't tell the story straight. So now I'm going to convince her. So then that opened the doorway. Both, she was deceived. Adam disobeyed. Now, sin entered the world through willful disobedience. I come to tell you, Adam had opportunity to say, wife that I love and that I honor, this is not the right thing. Don't eat it. But even if you did eat it, I'm not going to eat it. And we're going to ask God and go to God for repentance. Sin would not have entered into the world, but it did. The most important thing in the Bible, besides the birth of Christ and the life of Christ, you got to get to creation and how sin entered into this world. You got to get that in your spirit, because everything after that is done to wipe away the sin. Amen. So sin entered the world through, get this phrase right here, willful disobedience. And we're still doing it today. You know what the word says, and you willfully disobey it. That's willful disobedience. When this happened, spiritual death and physical death happened. That means sin entered into the world, and the theory is mankind in the Garden of Eden was supposed to live throughout eternity and commune directly with God. Now you have death, and now the lifespan, and people were dying, were about to die. Amen. They were supposed to live forever through eternity, but that is not what happened when sin entered into the world. Now let's go on. Eating the forbidden fruit represented Adam's rejection of God as the source of divine wisdom. Okay. Jesus was introduced in chapter 3, verse 15. Get that memorized in your spirit. Jesus was introduced in 3:15, okay? And I don't want to skip over the last phrase too quickly. Eating the fruit represented Adam's rejection of God as the source of divine wisdom, because the serpent told Adam and Eve that if you eat of it, then you will be as of God and as wise as God. And so instead of depending on God as the source, now you're circumventing that and you're trying to get it from somewhere else. Okay? God wants to be your source and your strength. Amen? Amen. Now, get this. Look at this. The different things that happened that we miss in this scripture that I wanted to make sure that we get to. Look at 3 and 14. Chapter 3, verse 14. So after God went to them, and of course they found themselves naked. So then when they, after sinning to the world, they find themselves naked. God went to them and said, how do you know you are naked? You have covered yourself with fig leaves and all of this. Who told you you were naked? Okay. Well, it's sin now. Before, nakedness was not sin. Now, nakedness is sin. That's why that happened. Let me make sure to mention that. But look at what God, these are the cursings. Look at what God said to them. God said to the serpent, verse 3 and 14. So the Lord God said to the serpent, because we know what happened. He went to Adam. Adam blamed or used an scapegoat of his wife. Well, the woman that you gave me, and that's in the scripture right before that, the woman that you gave me the fruit. He went to the woman. The woman says, well, the serpent deceived me. So everybody's passing blame downhill, right? Okay, here's how God handled it. Well, you went from the top to bottom. I'm going to go bottom to top, okay? So the Lord God said to the serpent, because you have done this, you are what? Cursed. More than all the cattle, more than every beast in the field, your belly you shall go, and you shall eat of the dust all the days of your life. Does that mean the serpent had legs, probably arms too? Okay. The serpent walked upright. It's the only reason why God says now, you're going to lay on your belly. Most people don't think about it like that. And I'm going to tell you something. If you go to Josephus' writings, which is the foremost Jewish historian that is widely accepted by every theologian who recorded the history of this time, he brought up the point that the theory is that animals could understand the voice of Adam. That's why he named them and they understood their voices. That's the theory. But that's just something I wanted to mention to you. So he spoke to Eve, is what it said, okay? So, and most of y'all are saying, wow, I didn't think about it like that. Satan, the serpent, had legs, he stood upright, and he had a voice, okay? 3:15, like I told you, this is Jesus being introduced, the first mention of Jesus in the Bible, okay? Except for when it is said, create in our image us, we created, that was the Holy Trinity, okay? Let me make sure to mention that. But here is where Jesus is introduced of what he's going to do. In 3 and 15, and I will put enmity between you and the woman and between your seed and her seed, and he shall bruise, he, capital He, shall bruise your head and you shall bruise his heel, and to the woman, okay? Now, but go back up. Said to the serpent, you are cursed. Look at this right here that I have written for you. You are cursed. Okay? Now, 3 and 17, then to Adam, let me back up to the man, because you have heeded the voice of your wife, and you didn't say better, and you knew better, willful disobedience, and have eaten from the tree which I have commanded you, saying you shall not eat of it, was the very first word. Cursed is the ground for your sake. Now, the serpent is cursed. Adam has brought about a cursing. Cursed is the ground for your sake. In toil you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Thorns and thistles it shall bring forth. Because you're supposed to just walk around and eat everything you want to eat. Now you got to work for it. In the sweat of your face you shall eat bread till you return to the ground. You were created from the dust and you shall return to it. Amen. That's powerful. The earth is now cursed. Sin is now cursed. You're now cursed. The earth is now cursed. Now, every person after that is born into sin and iniquity. But while you're on your high horse, men, Look at how he handled the woman. Verse 16. Okay? Verse 16. 3 and 16. Let's move back up. Because I skipped it. So I did that on purpose. To the woman, he said. To the woman, he says, I will greatly multiply your sorrow and your conception. I will multiply your sorrow and conception. You were going to have conception already, but I will multiply your sorrow and pain of conception. In pain, you shall bring forth children. So that says there was probably not going to be pain before, but now there's pain in it. But what word do you not see in these verses? In pain, you shall bring forth children. Your desire shall be for your husband, and he shall rule over you. He named you. Okay? He will name you. Now that's 16. In 20, that's where he says, and Adam called his wife's name Eve, all the way in verse 20. But in 16, that's my alarm to tell me to hurry up. Okay. Your desire shall be for your husband, and he shall rule over you. But what did you not see? You did not see the word cursed. Did you catch that in your reading? You did not see the word cursed. The serpent brought about cursings. Adam brought about cursings. The woman did not bring about cursings. She suffered the consequence. Now there's pain. She was going to conceive and bring forth life anyway. Amen? Because the command of God would be given to be fruitful and multiply. Who was going to come through the womb of the woman? Eventually, the Savior known as Yeshua, Jesus Christ. So how could he curse the womb if Jesus was going to come through? Amen, somebody. I bet you never thought about that. Amen. So the blame is put on Adam. Okay? Stop blaming Eve. Now, I got to finish chapter 3, 2 and 3. Eve received her name in verse 20 after I told you after the curses was established. Adam named her in 2:23, woman. She was called wife in 2:25. I've already said that. And Adam named her, gave her specific name in 3:20. Nakedness covered by God with skins. Y'all remember reading that? Well, they covered themselves with fig leaves. Why did he have to turn around and cover them with skins? Seems like a double thing right there, right? They was already covered. Look at the verse line, the next line. Without the shedding of blood, there can be no remission of sins. This thing is echoed all the way through the Bible till you get to Jesus Christ, when the blood of Jesus covered the sin. It's all the way through the Bible, all the way through Moses, all the way through the Passover to put the blood over the doorpost. The trail or line of blood goes all the way through it until the shedding of blood of Jesus Christ. All of the animal sacrifices, this is why. So the skins that he used to cover their nakedness, he had to get from somewhere. So he got from an animal. So what does that tell you? That was the first animal sacrifice. So they were covered by skins to temporarily cover their sin. In all the animal sacrifices that you read about in the Old Testament was only done to temporarily wash, to cover the sins, to cover the sin. But it wasn't until Christ Jesus came on the scene that the sin, the shedding of the blood of Jesus, the shedding of the blood of Yeshua, was to wash away the sins of the world if we accept Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. And I can't believe that I'm at chapter 4 where I wanted to be, but I am, it's very quick. I'm going to cover chapter 4. Give me 4 minutes, okay? So then we go, they were driven out of the Garden of Eden, okay? And now we got Cain and Abel. Most people know this story. So Cain is the firstborn of Adam. Abel is the secondborn of Adam. Cain, the scripture says, was the tiller of the ground. He worked the ground. And Abel was the keeper of the sheep. Okay? If we can get through this, then chapter 5 starts with the family of Adam and goes on. So we'll be good if we get through this. This is a whole lot of years of history. Okay? Both brought offerings to the Lord, but Cain's offering was rejected. We remember that story, right? Okay. God, why was this not? Okay? Here's the theory. God saw the evil in Cain's heart when he brought it. Well, here's another theory, okay? Cain, I just told you, was the tiller of the ground, and Abel was the keeper of the sheep. So what was the offerings given? They only could offer what they had. Cain offered plants. But guess what? Abel offered the first fruits, is what he said. The first fruits were given, both offered the first fruits, but Abel offered what he had, which it says he was the keeper of the sheep. So he must have, theoretically, offered a lamb, a sheep. So his was going to be accepted anyway, because as an offering, the shedding of blood was accepted. But that's theory, that's Bible theory. But it's much easier for you to say that God saw the evil in Cain's heart because everybody after Cain and his line would be evil. So let's hold on to that line of theory, okay? Let's hold on to that. So Cain murdered Abel because of his jealousy of his brother, okay? So, because we said Cain was first. And we see multiple times in the Bible, oh Lord, I can't get into it, but multiple times in the Bible, the first son was passed over and the birthright or the blessing was given to the second son, okay, which normally doesn't happen. The first received all the blessings. So that kind of echoed all the way through. So let's look at this. Because of his anger, Cain murdered Abel, the first murder. He created the very first murder. Why? Because now sin is in the world. So Cain lied as well. When God questioned him, where is your brother? He added not only sin, not only murder, but he went as far as to add lying on top of it. So he was, you know, what do people say? If you lie, you'll steal. If you steal, you'll kill. Okay, I heard that somewhere. So he added lying to it. I don't know where my brother is. Am I my brother's keeper? I don't know where that. I don't know where he is. So God cursed Cain. Okay. Verse 11, that's in 4 and 11. So now you are cursed from the earth. Wow. And we already said, because of that, the earth was cursed. Well, now Cain was a tiller of the ground. So you can make that connection. See, I want y'all to be able to connect the dots in the things that flow in theory throughout the Bible. I already read to you that he said, because of the sin, the ground is cursed. When I hear it's Cain, now, and what happened? Abel now had to work the ground now, right? The ground is cursed. It wouldn't yield its seed so easily. Now Cain is a tiller of the ground, his son, okay? Now Cain committed to murder, right? So now God cursed Cain, verse 11. So now you are cursed from the earth, the ground, from the earth. You're cursed. So then Cain stated, wait a minute, God. My punishment is greater than I can bear. Anyone who finds me will kill me. Should God care about that? You just committed murder. Let me add this. If you do not create life, which no one does but God, you have no right to take life. If you do not create life, you have no right to take life. Okay? So now, what did God do? God showed grace. It's not the first time he showed grace. He showed grace with Adam and Eve. They sinned, he could have killed them and start all over. No, he showed grace, okay? He showed grace here with Cain, the first murderer, okay? Verse 15 says, whoever kills Cain, vengeance shall be taken on him sevenfold. And then he marked Cain so that everyone would be able to see him, okay? So now Cain's line is the evil line. Just about everything throughout that line is evil, okay? And look down at verse 19. So 4 and 19, look at verse 4 and 19. So then Lamech took for himself two wives, and name of one was Ada, and name of the second was Zillah, okay? That's a descendant of Cain, and I'm gonna show you the bracket in 1 second, okay? Lamech took two wives. Polygamy first entered into the world right there. That is a violation of God's intentions for marriage. There is no man-to-man marriage. There is no woman-to-woman marriage. There is one man, one woman, and not one man with multiple wives. After this, that was a tradition of sorts that you see in the Bible. That's not God's intent, okay? So now Lamech went on to brag that he killed multiple people, okay? So, and you remember what that said? Now Lamech said, look at verse 23. Look at verse 23, 4 and 23. Then Lamech, because I got this question during the week. Then Lamech said to his wives, both of them, hear my voice. Wives of Lamech, listen to my speech. I have killed a man for wounding me, even a young man for hurting me. So if Cain shall be avenged sevenfold, then Lamech 77-fold. Now, how cocky is that? Okay? This is where most theologians believe. You got two schools of theory. Is that word theory? This is theory. The vengeance on Cain. I've been asked, well, when was Cain murdered? When did he die? It is stated that this sarcasm from his descendant Lamech, who bragged about killing two people, the first school of thought says he killed Cain and said, if he was protected sevenfold, I should be protected 77, seven times seven. The second school of thought is that Cain rose up and killed his brother with a stone, and there's writings that says Cain's house fell upon him, and by the stones he were killed. That's two different rules of thought. You can research that for yourself if you want to, okay? But the end result is Cain is the evil line, what I want you to get, and the other line is the blessed line. So that moves us to Cain's replacement. I'm almost done. The new son to Adam and Eve, name was Seth. Hebrew names always have a meaning. His name means appointed, appointed. Seth, he's the godly line. So Seth has a son, Enosh, and Enosh, his name means humanity, okay? Humanity. Verse 26a says, then men began to call on the name of the Lord after this line was established, began to call on the name, as I said, the Lord, which is the proper name, Yahweh, which is the personal name of God. Not begin to call on God, but the personal name of God. Personal name of God. So chapter 5 just gives you all the ages of everyone. I don't have to read all that. Screenshot, let me shrink it a little bit. Screenshot that, or send me your email address and I'm gonna send you all the notes. This is all of the lines. Adam, like days of Adam to Noah, Adam and Seth and Enosh and Cainan and Cainan and Mahalalel and Mahalalel and Jared, and Jared got Enoch, Enoch Methuselah, and Enoch, gotta say this, after Methuselah, Enoch begat Methuselah. Enoch walked with God for 300 years because he was so righteous. God took him. He did not suffer death. He did what Adam was supposed to do from the beginning, to not suffer death. Enoch did not suffer death. He was taken at 375 years old. But look at all these ages. 930 years, 912, 905, 910, 895, 972. That's how long these people lived. Why am I bringing this to your attention? because it's going to change drastically, and we're going to see why it changed. Okay? He did not suffer death, but what is that? When Enoch was taken and was not suffered death, this is God's example to us of the rapture and what will happen to the church when we are called up. And when the church is called up, the dead will rise first, and he will call up his church, his saints, into the air. And it is saying, as it is said, this is an example of that. I know some of you missed that. God always gives us examples throughout the Bible of major things to come to get your mind ready to believe the major things that he has to come for. So then 969 years, Lamech 777 years, then you got Noah. And that's where we stop. Noah, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, or Japheth as we say, his three sons. Now the last thing I'm going to show you is the chart. Okay? Here's the chart. You got Adam. Okay, Abel was slain, right? In the middle. There's no line. So then you have Cain, the evil line. On the other side, he was replaced by Seth. Abel was replaced by Seth. And then that's the line that was established at this point. Okay? Here's what trip up most of you. You have multiple names and names that sound the same. Okay? The names over here, Methuselah, same as names on this side. Sounds just like it. Lamech is duplicated on this side. Lamech. But they were different people. And that's what trips up everybody in the Bible. The names duplicated and names are also used to name areas, territories, or cities. Don't let that trip you up, okay? The line of Cain ended with the deluge, the great flood. The line of Seth continued after the flood through Noah and his three sons. So now, see, there's the two wives that Lamech was not supposed to have. Cain, Tubal-Cain, Jubal, all of these. Some of y'all recognize these names. Yeah, that's evil. Okay? Some of y'all know what I'm talking about. Noah and his three sons. And that's where we're going to stop.
Produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. Or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll free, USA. 1-347-850-8560. Toll free, international callers. 1-888-201-5313.